Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And by the way, if you were interested in that last conversation about the Republican presidential hopefuls, you may want to see our latest online video picks. Every week we choose five videos from the web that we think you may be interested in, and I anchor them in a picks video. This week they're all about Republican presidential candidates, including Fred Thompson at a fundraiser asking for a round of applause for himself. That's our online video picks. Go to WNYC.org and click on video. And we want to incorporate your video picks. Send us a link to a video you want us to see and possibly include in our picks. Email BrianLehrershow@WNYC.org. So you're on your bike. You stop at a red traffic light on a quiet street. You look both ways. You see there are no cars. And you cycle on through. Pretty harmless, pretty common, right? Except for the fact that you're breaking the law. It's not clear exactly how many tickets bike riders get for flouting the traffic laws in New York City, but a quick look at the streets shows just how much it's done, which raises this question. Should cyclists be exempt from laws meant for cars? It's a question being asked on the website streetsblog.com, and it sparked a rousing debate there. Alex Marshall is responsible for the original post. He's also a senior fellow at the Regional Plan Association and the author of a new book called Beneath the Metropolis, The Secret Lives of Cities, and he joins us now. Hey, Alex, welcome back to WNYC.
Great to be here.
And listeners, you can call us about this question right now. Cyclists, drivers, pedestrians, and many of you are all three, should bike riders be allowed to disregard the traffic laws, or more to the point, should they become officially exempt from traffic laws that were designed for cars? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Maybe you have some personal experiences to argue one way or the other. But or you can post on our comments page as well. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. A lively discussion has already broken out about this on the Brian Lehrer Show page even before we started on the air. So, Alex, what's your proposal exactly?
Well, I guess I'm raising the questions whether it's feasible for bicyclists to obey all traffic laws. And with the post, which was meant to be a bit provocative, it was really meant to raise the question of what are streets for? I mean, with our traffic laws, we implicitly say they're basically mostly for cars and anyone else you can kind of squeeze in there. But the traffic laws were not, were designed for cars and not really designed for pedestrians or cyclists or other forms of kind of mobile traffic. So when you start thinking about it, well, why should the rest of us have to obey things that are primarily not meant for us or designed for us? And then it raises the larger question, can we maybe redesign those laws so rather than discouraging walking and cycling and other kinds of non-vehicular, non-motorized traffic, we could actually encourage it.
There is a whole other type of argument about this, which goes like this. Bicyclists really should obey the traffic laws because, you know, I'm a biker, as you probably know, and I'm very much for bicyclists' rights and better bike lanes and all this stuff. But I also am a pedestrian, and I've almost been smashed to the ground by bikers going the wrong way on a one-way street when I think I've looked the right way before I cross or running a red light, you know. And so the other way to look at it is enforce bicycles obeying traffic laws, but create much better bike lanes where people can't double park and stuff like that.
Well, I think what we want is to promote an air of civility on the streets, an air of urbanity and civility and people where people are respectful of each other. And so, you know, what's the best way to do that? I don't think actually pretending that bicycles are cars is the way to do it. And that's what we do when we say bicyclists have to obey all traffic laws because, you know, we're not a 5,000-pound vehicle and we're not using a pedal to in gasoline to get us to go. So your concern is a real one. I mean, cyclists can behave very disrespectfully to pedestrians, and it's a real issue. And so, you know, pedestrians are in some sense the primary. They come first. In my moral universe of the streets, the pedestrians come first. But I don't think sort of enforcing all traffic laws against cyclists is the way to do it. What I actually think would make a lot of sense is to change the liability laws so that basically pedestrians come first, you know, cyclists come second, and then last cars. If there's a collision between a pedestrian and a cyclist, the presumption should be that the cyclist is at fault. And if there's a collision between a cyclist and a car, the presumption should be the driver is at fault. And I think that would help start changing people's conduct on the roads.
So I'm not surprised this started a huge conversation on Streets Blog. It's already started a little explosion of posts here on our comments page at WNYC.org. Here are a couple of them. This one says, if a red light against a cyclist is defined as a yield right of way, a yield sign, that would make cycling much easier and safer, yet preserve the notion of legal culpability if a cyclist in such a situation has a collision with a pedestrian or vehicle proceeding on green. Then someone else, a biker, posts a story. I've been ticketed for running red lights and know many, many other riders who have as well. The reason you don't see it is because the traffic cops who write red light tickets hang out at quiet intersections where there are no pedestrians to get in their way. I don't know if they do that, really.
Yeah, I don't either. I think the first guy's suggestion is pretty good, that, you know, change the law so that, you know, cyclists can legally go through a red light if they look both ways and look around them. I from our postings online, I think Idaho has that law at the moment.
Do you question whether what you're doing is responsible? I mean, somebody could be seriously harmed by flouting rules meant to protect people, especially after a weekend where two cyclists were killed in Brooklyn.
I do worry about that, and I don't want to just to encourage people to be unmindful of traffic and the very real dangers of colliding with very, very dangerous objects, which are basically mostly other cars and trucks. But I think it's a good subject to raise. And again, the subject is, what are streets for? You know, are they just for cars, or are they for everything? And, you know, we have a lot of people in this city, a very dense city, and it's probably not the best use of space to allocate streets principally for big motor vehicles that usually only have one or two people in them.
Ruben in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ruben.
Hi. I am a cyclist, or at least was until fairly recently, but not because of this sort of issue. And I advocate not only for bicyclists obeying the traffic laws, but probably even being licensed, because bicyclists seem to be either ignorant or totally unconcerned with the traffic. And if you're a small, hard-to-see object, then you have no business being a surprise to drivers in big cars where they can kill you.
That's a legitimate point of view. I don't think, though, that's the way to go, to license cyclists or to, again, sort of try to pretend that they're cars. And I think that's what you do when you say cyclists should strictly obey all traffic regulations that are on the street. And when you look into the history of traffic regulations, things like stop signs and red lights and left turn lanes, I mean, they were all designed for automobiles. They didn't exist in basically before around 1930 and 1940.
Even though there were bicycles then.
Yeah, there were. And there were a lot of bicycles going back to the 1880s.
And it's easier to follow up with a car driver than a cyclist. Bike riders don't have license plates, never mind a license.
Right.
Jerry in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, good morning. I drive, walk, and bike all over the city. I'm a private chauffeur. And you're going to first have to get people here to pay attention to the laws, period, regardless of what they're on or not. The pedestrians pay no attention to the street signs. They just walk whenever the hell they want to, pardon my French. And everybody else does their own thing, too.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's true. The pedestrians don't obey the laws, the cars don't obey the laws, and the bicyclists don't obey the laws.
I think that's true. You know, we have contested streets, and we don't have streets like they have, say, in Seattle, where people talk about how respectful everyone is, and the pedestrians always, you know, obey the walk signs. It seems to be part of our culture that we're constantly trying to get an edge, and so the pedestrians are always edging out into the streets, and the cyclists are going through the red lights. You know, maybe there's a way, though, to fashion the laws to actually work with that. So I mean, if you actually kind of got rid of some of the stop signs and red lights, maybe that would actually work. You know, you would have basically encouraging people just to be aware of each other.
Oh,
in
my
their
goodness.
Environment.
This is the libertarian approach.
Don't insult me. Don't call me a libertarian.
Oh, you're with the Regional Plan Association. That's right. I don't know, but maybe that would be Ron Paul's solution to the problem. You know, there was a post on the New York Times Freakonomics blog a few days ago that related to this. It quoted a study that said cyclists are 12 times more likely than car drivers to suffer a fatal accident. But it said the risks associated with cycling decrease dramatically when more cyclists are on the road. So rather than advocate cyclists breaking the rules, maybe it would be better to focus on more people getting on bikes.
That's a great idea, and I've written about that. There's a study that you can find on the web called Safety in Numbers, and the guy does a good job of proving that basically the more cyclists there are on the road, the safer each one of them is. And I've written that's one argument against encouraging people to wear bicycle helmets, because particularly when you pass law requiring helmets, they show that the number of cyclists decline, which actually increases the danger to them.
Alex Marshall is my guest on WNYC, fellow at the Regional Plan Association, author of the book Beneath the Metropolis, The Secret Lives of Cities, and the author of a post on streetsblog.com that's really gotten a conversation going in the city about whether bicycles should be exempt from traffic laws designed for cars. And Hilda in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Hilda.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm a bicyclist. I bike back and forth from Brooklyn to Manhattan, and I bike with my kids, I bike to work, I do lots of biking, and I completely agree with the speaker, because it really has to be a case-by-case basis. I mean, I get to a red light, and I'm not going to just run through it because of safety, but you have to live by a certain motto. You don't get hit, number one, you stay upright, and that's about it, and you don't want to hit anybody else. So you have to be ahead of the cars. You have to be defensive, and in the sense that you're putting a little bit of space between you and the cars. You're making sure you don't hit pedestrians.
And just when you think you've veered to the right a little bit to avoid the car barreling down the right lane, someone opens a driver's side door.
Right,
and
right.
There you go. So there isn't much room for error.
It's not, and you look at the bike lanes, and it's fabulous that they're there. They're completely not enforced.
Right.
You have to really, take it as you see it.
And they might as well post a sign that says "Double park here."
I mean, my model for great cycling is Amsterdam and the Scandinavian countries, which you see so much, where you not only have great bike lanes, but you have lots and lots of cyclists mixing freely with heavy traffic. And and the drivers become accustomed to that, and they also have serious laws that the drivers know about, that they know that if they hit someone, they're going to be the ones that are at fault.
Hilda, thank you for your call. And you mentioned Amsterdam. Here's another international example. Theo in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hello. I happen to be driving in Manhattan for many years, and I practically drive all day long around Manhattan. And I've also been to China this last few years, and I'm making the comparison of the bicycle traffic. I think it's more of a culture problem here in New York. You have a lot of aggressive, first of all, car drivers, especially taxis, limos. And that, I think, sort of reflects how cyclists also behave in response to the aggressive driving of the cars. I think we have to start with the cars to make sure they do not speed in Manhattan. And you might see, as a result of that, also people on bicycles and pedestrians behaving less aggressive.
It's a good point. Were you going to say something about Beijing?
Yes, Beijing I've been to a lot recently. I go there twice a year, and the amount of bicycles there is so tremendous. I speak to police officers. I happen to know some people high up in the police department, and the accident reports, the percentage there of bicycle accidents is almost ridiculously low. Because they're using a lot of common sense over there.
And a lot of bicycles.
Yeah.
It's just so accepted there. I think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah, that must be. I think the caller raises a good question, is how do we get drivers to act less aggressive? I certainly see that when I bicycle around, and it's scary. I mean, particularly big trucks and SUVs. How do we get them to change their behavior? I think changing some of the liability laws would help.
And thanks for your call, Theo. You, in your post, you mentioned a proposal currently before the city council that might help getting rid of one-way streets altogether. They're considering that?
I think that got a bit garbled. I thought there was a proposal about bicycle messengers, and I raised the subject of one-way streets in that context. I actually would be largely in favor of getting rid of a whole lot of one-way streets. They're something that were put into place, again, mostly for drivers. Most of the streets in the city that you now see that are one-way used to be two-ways. And two-way streets are better for bicycling. They're better for slower traffic. You know, Jane Jacobs in her great 1961 book, The Death and Life of Great American Cities, she noticed how every time the city changed the street to one-way, the bus traffic would decline because it became less convenient.
We have to leave it there. If you want to continue this conversation, you can do so on our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. We've also posted to the link at streetsblog.com where Alex Marshall has started this conversation. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Brian. Great to be here.
Take a break, I close my eyes, and I'm as happy as the dolphin. In a quiet spot, talking to myself, talking about the rain, talking about the rain.